With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Well, today is the day voters in Georgia deciding which party will control the U.S. Senate for the next couple of years. We have two reports.
Senators Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue will try to hold on to their seats and thereby allow Republicans to keep their majority in the Senate. It's an advantage conservatives say is their only chance to stave off the expected flood of radical policies from incoming President Joe Biden. Political insiders say with so much at stake, both sides have pulled out all stops. They say to expect a photo finish and a ballot tally that falls within the margin of error. Bob Agner reporting.
With control of the U.S. Senate at stake, the president told Georgia voters at a rally here to keep extreme liberals from gaining the majority. He urged voters to return Republican Senators Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue to Congress and keep the Senate under GOP control. Party officials hope the president's rally of the base will lead to strong voter turnout in Tuesday's critical races. Greg Clugston with the president in Dalton, Georgia.
Despite holding a majority of fewer than a half dozen seats, House Democrats have rammed through a package of rules changes, tightening their grip on the House of Representatives.
In a party-line vote, Democrats weakened the ability of Republicans to add end-stage amendments to bills and weakened pay-as-you-go rules that made it more difficult to pass legislation inflating the federal deficit. Relaxing pay-as-you-go was a victory for the progressive wing. Democrats also extended the proxy voting rules put in last year, permitting lawmakers to vote remotely during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Correspondent Mike Rossia. New York, the latest state where a variant of the coronavirus has surfaced. A new national COVID-19 lockdown in England that will last for at least 6 weeks. On Wall Street this morning, stock futures in positive territory. Right now, the Dow futures are up 37 points, NASDAQ futures 16 points higher. This is SRN News.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB News.
Good morning, I'm Adam Boardman. Two former Jacksonville City Council members who've been given prison time will actually be going to prison. Katrina Brown and Reggie Brown, no relation, were given 33 and 18-month sentences, respectively, after being convicted on federal fraud charges. They were hoping to stay out of prison pending their appeals, but a judge has nixed that idea. It's highly unlikely you'll be able to get vaccinated against the coronavirus this week, unless you already have an appointment, but you might be able to make an appointment this week. The Florida Department of Health in Duval County says they'll be accepting new appointments online this and every Thursday afternoon at 5. It should never have happened, and there ought to be a law to make sure it never happens again. Those are the basics of a report about the botched attempt by former JEA officials to sell the utility. The report from a special committee of the Jacksonville City Council runs well over 100 pages and was released yesterday. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance, reminding you that when you adopt a shelter pet, you discover all the things that make them unique. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
Jacksonville's only morning local political talk show, the Ed Dean Radio Show. News, opinion, and your chance to call in with your opinion. Weekdays 6 till 9 a.m. on AM 600 WBOB. Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
Some light traffic on Roosevelt Boulevard headed south, right after McDuff Avenue. Add an extra 2 minutes, and if there's anything you see, give us a call, 901-SAFE.
Sunny skies today, 67 the high. This evening will be clear with a low of 41. Right now, it is 37 degrees. Here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. A new poll finds most voters think $600 coronavirus relief checks are too little. And today is the big day. Polls are open and both sides look to boost turnout for Georgia's special election. And while some Republican senators plan to object to tomorrow's Electoral College certification, other Senate Republicans say they are not on board.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM,
WBOB.
Hey, good morning, Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. 4 minutes after 7 a.m. All the way with you tonight a.m. We got some great podcasts also lined up for you this week as well. Thanks so much, everybody, for Ron Davis and Matt Schellenberg and others for hosting along with Roger, taking care of everything, just because Roger is the main feature of the morning show.
You think
so? But yeah, he is. But Roger also needs, Roger's got to have assistance as well. So anyway, so we're going to be with you all the way to 9 a.m. The polls have opened in the state of Georgia. We were just watching them a little bit here, and they're packed.
Yeah, long lines. First thing in the morning, you know, people, and this is despite the fact that close to 4 million people have already either voted early or by absentee.
That's right. All the way again with you to 9 a.m. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, Talk Radio, WBOB.
The United States Senate decided by a slim majority to pick the pockets of the poor, the sick, the old, and the yet unborn in order to line the pockets of the ultra rich. Don't tell me about gangsters and thugs on the streets. There are more gangsters and thugs in Washington, D.C.
That's Georgia Liberal Democrat senatorial candidate Raphael Warnock. That's what he said recently, a few years ago. I should say recently, but it's been recently played by the Loeffler campaign. Also, some of the comments that they've been exposing Warnock about.
More than a third of the nation that would go along with this is reason to be afraid. America needs to repent for its worship of whiteness.
But the question is that going to be enough to defeat the Republicans out there? Many analysts predict that the Democrats have a decent shot. This is what they have said. Picking up the elections today, President Trump last night campaigned in North Georgia. But some people are still commenting about the phone call to that of the Georgia Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, that took place over the weekend. Fox News, John Roberts.
Sources tell Fox News that 18 previous times President Trump tried to connect with the Georgia Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger. When he finally did get a phone call, it blew up into yet another presidential-sized controversy. For weeks, President Trump had been ripping Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger. So when Raffensperger finally agreed to take the president's call, he had it recorded. When President Trump again ripped Raffensperger the next day, saying he has no clue, the recording was leaked to the Washington Post. An attorney for President Trump today said that the phone call was not to pressure Raffensperger to open or at least to overturn the results of the election in Georgia. It was merely to try to settle two outstanding lawsuits.
Here's what the president said in parts of that phone call.
I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have, because we won the state. So tell me, Brad, what are we going to do? We won the election, and it's not fair to take it away from us like this. The people of Georgia are angry. The people of the country are angry. And there's nothing wrong with saying that, you know, that you've recalculated. But they are shredding ballots, in my opinion, based on what I've heard. And they are removing machinery, and they're moving it as fast as they can. Both of which are criminal fines.
The Secretary of State, of course, says that the claims made by the president are just not there. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger was asked, why do you think the president called you?
I think the president wanted to speak with you directly.
Probably to see if he could influence me to change my decisions. But I'm not really making a decision. What I'm doing, I'm following the law and I'm following the facts. The numbers are the numbers, and the numbers we reported are factually correct.
Anything illegal? Not at all. But Fox News senior political analyst Brett Hume says that the phone call probably wasn't the smartest thing for the president to do.
I think it was improper what he was suggesting. It was improper that the call occurred, conducted the way it was. I think it was regrettable. And when it gets down to it, I think Raffensperger's got the facts. I think the president's facts are dubious.
The president's facts are dubious, but even the Democrats say that if they don't win, it's because the Republicans installed more voter suppression. Here's Georgia's Stacey Abrams.
When we create access to the right to vote for eligible citizens, more people participate. And Republicans do not know how to win without voter suppression as one of their tools, because voter suppression is their modus operandi.
Tomorrow, the Electoral College certification will take place. Vice President Mike Pence, who will oversee it, says he supports members of his own party opposing the certification.
Vice President Mike Pence now says he welcomes a push by a group of Republican senators to challenge the election results when Congress meets to certify the Electoral College votes. Pence said in a statement that he supports the senators using their authority to raise any objections they may have. Republican senators have said they will challenge the results and call for a commission to investigate claims of election irregularities in several battleground states.
One of the people championing that, of course, is from the state of Wisconsin, Ron Johnson. Johnson says, we know voter fraud exists. We just don't know to what extent.
There was fraud in this election. I have any doubt about that. There was fraud. We just don't know the extent. The question that follows is whether the level of fraud would alter the outcome of the election.
VP Mike Pence tells an audience this past week in Georgia that the evidence will be heard on Wednesday.
We all got our doubts about the last election. And I want to assure you, I share the concerns of millions of Americans about voting irregularities. And I promise you, we'll have our day in Congress. We'll hear the objections. We'll hear the evidence.
A group of GOP senators say that they will oppose the certification coming up tomorrow.
Democrats have done this for years in order to raise concerns about election integrity. Now when Republicans, 74 million Americans, have concerns about election integrity, we're supposed to just sit down and shut up? I mean, somebody has to stand up here.
Republican from Missouri, Senator Josh Hawley, even Ted Cruz jumped in on it. He says on top of that, of opposing the certification, what they would need to do and what should be done over the next several days is to form an electoral commission to perform an emergency audit.
An obligation to protect the integrity of the democratic system. And so this past week, I spent writing out a position and assembling a group that ultimately of 11 senators that we put out yesterday that we will together object to certification in order to force the appointment of an emergency electoral commission to perform an emergency audit of the election results to assess these claims of fraud.
But other members of the GOP say that this is nothing more than a PR stunt. Former White House Deputy Chief of Staff in the Bush administration, Karl Rove.
Well, it's a PR gesture, a stunt. And we had one senator, Josh Hawley of Missouri, who said, I'm going to stop certification. That was never going to happen because the House is not going to go along with it. Another aspirant for 2024, Ted Cruz, decides, well, I've got to be in this game, so I'm going to call for an emergency commission that's going to, in the next 10 days, resolve issues that we haven't been able to resolve conclusively in the last 2 months. And that ain't going to happen because the House isn't going to go along with this. So this is sound and fury signifying little or nothing, and it's not going to resolve the issue.
And Rove also points out that what's the point of having an electoral commission? What's it going to resolve with an short period of time?
Even if there were a commission, who thinks that these questions are going to be able to be resolved in 10 days? Which is what this is calling for. The President of the United States is under the law and under the Constitution to be sworn in on January 20th.
Exactly correct.
Exactly. Yeah, maybe there's some shenanigans going on. You know, the questions are, does it, A, rise to the level? And then secondly, can we find out anything, even if it does, before the 20th?
Can I ask a question? I know what the answer is. Mm-hmm. Why is Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz and a few others spearheading this?
I think it's fundraising.
You're close. You're close. What is the real
I
answer
think they,
why?
Maybe they want to inherit the Trump following for their own presidential aspirations.
That's the ticket.
2024.
Josh Hawley, who I'm a big fan of, he wants to do it. I like Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz wants to run in 2024. That's the reason why many of this is doing it. Folks, this is nothing more than a PR stunt. This isn't, unfortunately, going to accomplish anything. The bottom line is, and this is the question I like to ask, you had 2 months to get an electoral commission. You've known about this. Did you sit back and say, well, the lawsuits didn't go through, so you don't stop. You have this, you have that. You try to move things through to see what can stick, and evidently an electoral commission just isn't going to work between now and January
20th. It almost comes across like these guys, you know, think that the Republican base is very gullible and can just believe and follow anything they say and get excited about something that's not going to go anywhere.
But for Democrats to say that the Republicans are ill-informed, they have no right to do this, even Mika Brzezinski, ready for this? The co-host of Morning Joe on MSNBC points out the hypocrisy from the Democrats who opposed this election certification as well during the Bush years.
The last three times a Republican has been elected president, Democrats in the House have brought objections to the electoral votes in states the Republican nominee won. In 2005, Senator Barbara Boxer of California lent Senate support to the move when she objected to George W. Bush's electoral votes in Ohio, citing voting irregularities in the state. The move was praised at the time, including by Senator Dick Durbin.
So there you go. So it is hypocrisy of the liberal left to act like this has never happened before. The bottom line is this is going to start around 1 o'clock tomorrow. It's going to be entertaining. I know Roger's going to end up watching it.
I'm going to record it.
This is going to be great, but nothing is going to change. Here's my question. How many of y'all think something's going to change tomorrow? What's going to happen tomorrow? What type of evidence will be released, or is it done? That's the question I like to ask you. 831-0600. Emails already coming in this morning at WBOB.com.
Are they critical of us?
Well, they're saying, because what's going to happen is after tomorrow, the podcast, the extreme podcast groups out there that have no clue what they're talking about think that, they're going to push the goalpost back again. Mm-hmm. It'll be January the 20th, and there'll be another major move for Congress to move the election, the swearing-in day from January 20th to, I'm sorry, folks, the Constitution has dates, and those dates will not be moved.
And you cannot substitute emotionalism of facts for emotionalism.
There will be, I've been hearing this for the last 2 months, the Kraken. We've got all of these votes. Shredded ballots. The Insurrection Act. Nothing's happened, folks. Nothing's happened. All right? And some of you are saying that President Trump's going to invoke martial law. That's almost disserving it's not only is it disingenuous, it does not serve the president in a proper mood. The president may not look all that great by making a phone call looking desperate to Brad Raffensperger, but it does not serve him right when many of those that claim to be Trump followers sit back and say, well, he should invoke, and he's going to invoke martial law, and he's going to have the Insurrection Act. That is just, it's absolutely wrong. So, caught up on 716 Talk Radio, WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
Some light traffic on Southside Boulevard headed south right after JTB. Add an extra 2 or 3 minutes, and if there's anything you see, since we can't see it all, just give us a call. 901-SAFE. 901-SAFE.
Plenty of sunshine today. 67 the high. Clear tonight with a low of 41. Right now it's 38 degrees.
I served in the United States military for 20 years and 3 days. When I came home, things were being noticed by my wife. She's the one that told me to go get help. I literally started crying the first appointment. I have PTSD with anxiety, so I was introduced into the world of the service dog. Canines for Warriors saves shelter dogs and trains them to be service dogs for veterans. 90% of the dogs from Canines are rescues. Days before I had Hannah were pretty rough. I couldn't walk into a store, into a movie theater. And with Hannah, I have that ability to do that. She's by my side 24/7. It was not just one life that they saved. I believe they saved both of our lives. It allows me to be that husband, to be that father. I feel a part of me is coming back that I used to be before I deployed.
Hey, love you. Love you,
Daddy.
Your monthly donation of $22 or more will save lives now. Become a guard dog and support Canines for Warriors. Lines are open now. Call 1-800-959-1059 and visit www.caninesforwarriors.org.
Are you having difficulty paying your IRS personal or business taxes due to COVID-19? If you owe a tax debt, there has never been a better time than now to get a resolution. The IRS has rolled out historic tax debt removal guidelines under their Taxpayer Relief Initiative. This COVID-19 program provides opportunities to remove or lessen your tax burden that weren't previously available. The tax attorneys at J. David Tax Law are right here in Jacksonville and are experts at negotiating with the IRS. At J. David Tax Law, only highly experienced tax attorneys will represent you. Never trust your tax situation to anyone that's not local to you. We've helped thousands of Floridians to overcome IRS and sales tax debt. Let us help you. Call J. David Tax Law today for a no-cost consultation at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777. Or go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
If you don't have a MyPillow, or if you know someone who doesn't, now is your time. Because for a limited time, Mike is offering his premium MyPillows. Yeah, the one that started it all for his lowest price ever. You can get a standard queen premium MyPillow for $29.98. Originally $69.98. That's a $40 savings. Kings are only $5 more. Now, this is the time to buy. Not only are you getting the lowest price ever
$29.98 for a standard queen premium, but Mike is extending his 60-day money-back guarantee to March 1st, 2021. Call 1-800-950-9024 or go to the Radio Listener Specials page at mypillow.com. Promo code WBOB. Financial Issues with Dan Celia at 9 this morning. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Today is the big day and the polls are now open as both sides look to boost turnout for Georgia's special election. While some Republican senators plan to object to tomorrow's Electoral College certification, other Senate Republicans say they are not on board. And Governor Ron DeSantis rolls out plans to boost vaccination numbers for elderly Floridians.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
Coming up on 720. Good morning, Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. Good to have everybody here. House rules. If you want to submit a bill or you want to address somebody, it's no longer congresswoman, congressman. Is it now congressperson out there? Now we're going to get rid of all the things that are considered to be gender-related. Fox News, Mike Emanuel.
The Democrat-led House kicked off the 117th Congress with new rules removing gender. Strike chairman and insert chair. Strike father, mother, son, daughter, brother, sister, husband, wife, father-in-law, or mother-in-law, and insert parent, child, sibling, spouse, or parent-in-law.
Wow.
And then strike himself or herself and insert themselves.
What about they? If you thought it was a little creepy, here's a little bit more. Trace Gallagher.
As Speaker Nancy Pelosi tries to ban any words referring to gender like man, mother, or grandfather. Father, mother has to be parent. Daughter, son, child. Brother, sister, sibling. Aunt, uncle, parents, sibling.
All right, so some of you that are listening right now at 831-0600. You know, we like to have a little fun here on the morning show. Mm-hmm. Be absurd. Like, for example, let me set this up. Tell me another area where it's, if you want to go down this path, that now we have to remove gender language and become gender neutral. For example, when we talk about the issue of race, you can no longer use the term, this is what we're told now, mm-hmm. master bedroom. Oh, wait, master thief, master electrician.
Master chief.
Master sergeant. Chief Master Sergeant.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I'm being facetious, I'm being ridiculous, but I'd love to hear from you. Tell me another area now, if we go down this path, that now we have to give up what the gender is in mm-hmm. order to become gender neutral so we don't come across offensive.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this all morning, and you know, I just cannot understand why a woman can look at herself in the mirror and think, that, you know, I do not want to be a lady. You know, I want to be gender neutral. I think this is just a huge political correctness bone they're throwing to the transgender community
yeah.
so that they can feel included.
I mean, is it now officer, officeress?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just asking. I don't know. So some of you, think about this for a second. What next? If you're going to go down this path where you've got to get rid of the gender language, it's not going to become gender neutral like they, mm-hmm. them, instead of saying somebody, wait a second. Something just hit me. What if there's a crime committed?
Can children call their dad, daddy, and mommy anymore?
Yeah.
Do they have the same parent?
What if somebody's of a certain color? Do I say, oh, he's Caucasian, or he's dark, mm-hmm. or black? I'm just saying, is that what we're going to get rid of next?
Well, the Marine Corps, for a very long time, has had dark green and light green, which I think is kind of cool.
Here we go. Here's Emanuel Cleaver, Democrat representative, member of the prayer that it recently did, amen and a women. Oh, my word.
May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us and give us peace.
Run!
Peace in our families, peace across this land, and dare I ask, oh, Lord, peace even in this chamber, now and evermore. We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God.
He says we ask this in the monotheistic God.
Run as fast as you can out of that church,
yeah.
But go ahead.
Brahma.
Who's that?
Yeah.
And God known by many names, by many different faiths. Amen and a woman.
Now, if you want to get particular, the God known of many faiths, it's kind of interesting. To me, I worship one certain God. My God may not be your God in many other faiths, but some people argue it's just a generic. When we say we pray this in God's name, it's not to become offensive because God represents everybody. You know? I mean, we can get into a theological argument about that. But this whole thing about amen and a women, the monolithic, we don't want to offend anybody.
Yeah, I looked up what amen is. It's actually a Hebrew word that means so be it. Has nothing to do with gender. Amen and a woman, that's the most ridiculous thing I've probably heard all year.
725 Talk Radio WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
Still dealing with that slow traffic around NAS Jacks. Add about 2 or 3 extra minutes, and if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE, 901-7233.
Plenty of sunshine today, 67 the high, clear tonight with a low of 41. Right now it's 38 degrees.
This traffic report is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. When you owe the IRS and can't pay, go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Here's Dan Celia with today's Stewardship Moment.
God tells us that it is impossible for us to love Him and not love those around us, particularly our brothers in Christ. In John 13, Jesus says this, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." See, listen, here's the deal. Can we love the unlovable so that as we attempt to be good stewards of our testimony, that those around us would see Christ in us?
You've just heard a Stewardship Moment with Dan Celia of Financial Issues Ministry, helping you plan, give, and invest wisely. For more information, log on to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
Roger McGuinn is coming to the Thrasher Horn Center. Roger McGuinn, lead singer and founder of The Byrds, one of the most iconic groups in rock and roll history. Don't miss Roger McGuinn, January 16th at the Thrasher Horn Center in Orange Park. For tickets and info, visit thcenter.org. That's thcenter.org.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 844-55-BIBLE. That's 844-55-BIBLE. 844-55-BIBLE.
WBOB welcomes the new talk show, The Charlie Kirk Show, every Monday through Friday from noon till 1.
My name is Charlie Kirk. I run the largest pro-American student organization in the country, Turning Point USA, fighting for the future of our republic. This election is a decision between preserving America as we know it and eliminating everything that we love.
Charlie Kirk, Monday through Friday, noon till 1 on AM 600 WBOB and FM 101.1. Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
All right, we're going to take some calls in just a couple of moments just to be fair, because if we take a call now, we won't be able to get everything ready to go at the bottom of the half hour. 831-0600, Democrats, already email me. Some of the Republicans, OMG, they saw President Trump's campaign rally last night and felt that it was too much about him. This is what the emails are saying. So they feel that it's not going to bode well for Republicans this morning in the state of Georgia. Wow. Can you imagine to see what happened? Can you imagine what the Monday morning quarterback is going to be tomorrow morning when we come back on the air, win or lose? And oh, we may not know a final win or lose for maybe a couple days.
May not.
And the lawyers are all geared up. 29 minutes after 7 a.m., all of this coming up next. Talk radio, WBOB.
Here come bad news, talking this and that.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Today is the day voters in Georgia going to the polls deciding which party will control the U.S. Senate for the next 2 years. Both President Trump and President-elect Biden visited the state yesterday, campaigning for their party's respective candidates in today's runoffs in Georgia. Despite holding a majority of fewer than a half dozen seats, House Democrats have rammed through a package of rules changes. Changes that, in effect, will tighten the Democrats' grip on the House of Representatives. New York, the latest state where a variant of the coronavirus has surfaced and has been confirmed. A new national COVID-19 lockdown in England taking effect today. That lockdown to last for at least 6 weeks. Stock futures have turned negative on Wall Street. Now Dow futures down 36 points. More details at srnnews.com.
News on WBOB, AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Good morning. I'm Adam Boardman. It's highly unlikely you'll be able to get vaccinated against the coronavirus this week, unless you already have an appointment, but you might be able to make an appointment this week. The Florida Department of Health in Duval County says they'll be accepting new appointments online this and every Thursday afternoon at 5. People ages 65 and up and healthcare workers began getting their shots at the Prime Osborne Center yesterday. Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry says that city officials are working on adding more vaccination sites. More than 64,000 COVID cases have been reported in Duval County, including over 750 deaths. Throughout the state, there have been more than 1,300,000 cases, including over 22,000 deaths. Another bicyclist has died after being hit by a car. This latest incident happened last night on Atlantic Boulevard in Jacksonville. Police say the woman was hit while she was pedaling across the street. She passed away soon after she got to the hospital. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
As an investor, what do you get from a discount broker or mutual fund? Not much. But if you're seeking planning, financial architecture, direction, and personal interaction, we're a fee-based, independent, credentialed financial advisor. We're Capital Dimensions Wealth Management, a 15-year-old Jacksonville-based firm that performs in-depth analysis and then on-site interviews with companies globally before investing our clients' money. If we can help you in your quest for financial independence, contact us at 730-3877 or drop by our office on University Boulevard. Boulevard. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
Still dealing with that slow traffic around NAS Jacks. Add about 2 or 3 extra minutes, and if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE, 901-7233.
Plenty of sunshine today, 67 the high, clear tonight with a low of 41. Right now it's 38 degrees. Here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. While some Republican senators plan to object to tomorrow's Electoral College certification, other Senate Republicans say they are not on board. Governor Ron DeSantis rolls out plans to boost vaccination numbers for elderly Floridians. And House Democrats put in new rules that will remove gender language in proposed legislation.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB. By calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed at wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us and give us peace. Peace in our families, peace across this land, and dare I ask, O Lord, peace even in this chamber.
Damn it.
Now and evermore. We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma, and God known by many names, by many different faiths. A man and a woman.
That's Democrat, can I call him congressman? It's congressperson, right? Emmanuel Cleaver. Amen and a woman. By the way, before I get to the calls, So I'm like, monotheistic. That means it's the belief that there is only one God.
Right.
And, of course, the Brahma. You know, the Brahma that
he
I know
sounds very confused. He does.
Well, don't say that, Roger.
He doesn't know who he's praying to and why.
Yeah.
Someone get that guy a Bible.
Yeah, in the Brahma. I remember the Brahma bull by the rock. You know, so let's go to Brian, who's been waiting really patiently. Hey, man, how are you?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Happy New
Brahma
Year, man.
Brahma is the creator god in Hinduism.
Yeah, I read that. I was reading that. I was
There are four sitting Hindus in the house.
Well, wait a second. Don't we have a few Muslims? Why don't we talk about praise be to Allah or something like that?
I think there's a really, I can't remember it right now. It's been so long, but there's a certain date in American history of why I don't think we talk about Muslim things. It happened in September. 11th. That's right. That's
well, I don't think that stops Muslim people things. Before. I mean, you know.
But no, I wanted to talk I brought up yesterday when I called in that in 2004, you had a House member and a senator use the time to create the debate to talk about voter suppression. So this is why you don't get your info from Mika, because it wasn't about voter fraud. It was about voter suppression. And they never made any intention of saying that they could sway or stop. They wanted to create the time for debate. So one is not like the other.
No. My only point was they knew they didn't have a prayer. They were going to object no matter what. That was my point.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you. I think Roger was a little right. I think some people are trying to latch on to the MAGA money, and I think some are trying to latch on to the MAGA crowd. And I think that you have a lot of people looking forward to 2024.
Yeah. Heck, I'm looking forward to 2022. Heck, I'm looking forward to 2021.
I am too. Yeah. I think midterms are the best by far.
Yeah, could be interesting on that one. All right, man. Thanks for the call.
Excellent. You guys have a great day.
All right, brother. Appreciate it. So, yeah, the bottom line is why did – I was asking the question. For those of you just tuning in, Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, 36 minutes after 7 a.m., why is Josh Hawley, who I'm a big fan of, by the way, Republican from Missouri, and Ted Cruz, I like Ted, the reason why that they're pushing this – and by the way, the majority of Republicans are not on board with this, by the way. This isn't going anywhere. You got to get two-thirds of the Senate. The House isn't going to go along with some electoral commission. I don't have a problem with electoral commission to find out about an emergency audit, but what's it going to do? How come they haven't been calling it for the last 2 months? They're only doing it now because why? These guys want to run in 2024.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's it. They realize the popularity that Donald Trump has with the base. They want to inherit that base if Donald Trump's going to retire from politics and make it easier for them to run in 2024. So that's likely what there is. And, of course, with politics comes money. They want to see those donations starting to come in towards their coffers.
Yeah, 48%. Are you guys ready for this? It was 48. Then the numbers jacked up. You're going to like this one, Roger. 75% of voters say that the $600 COVID relief checks are too little. But 57%, according to a Hill-Harris X poll, 57% of voters say that $2,000 sounds about right. Well, tell me where I could get that 60 to 80%. What about 3,000? How would that sound?
And the money can be financed. We had one of our callers, and I forget who called in, said, you know, we could easily finance that $2,000 simply by not giving Pakistan, Egypt, and the Ukraine more money than they give Americans. And if that happens, then, you know, they could come up with the cash.
In 2020, 8 million brand new gun purchasers, according to the FBI's National Instant Background Check System, which is NICS. According to Brannels, Ryan Rep, he told Varney and Company that based on the data that the individuals buying these guns do not fit the typical norm. In other words, the caricature does not fit the normal, typical gun buyer.
The NSSF is estimating at about 8 million new gun owners, and they just don't fit the caricature of what many would consider to be the average gun owner. Based on our sales, if we compare that to NSSF data, we're seeing a lot more guns going to urban areas. About 40% of new gun owners are actually women, and African Americans are buying it. They're the largest growing group at 58% up year over year.
Urban areas, those in the black community, mm-hmm. 58%.
Yeah.
Of the biggest group of people buying brand new weapons.
Legal gun purchases, and many of them are becoming concealed weapons carriers, and they want to protect themselves just like any other American.
And by the way, when they say the typical caricature, I mean, we could say the stereotype. Here's the question. What would be the typical stereotype then?
Stereotypical would be, you know, some guy
with a
Confederate flag in his back, you know, back window of his truck, and, you know, he wants to add to his arsenal.
Nah,
that's the stereotype.
Yeah, the stereotype would be, do you already own a gun? Most of these, again, first-time gun purchasers, and the majority of those in the black community. Ryan Rep, again, from Brannell's Firearm, was asked, okay, among women, what are women buying for first-time gun buyers?
What about the guns that women are buying? Are they mainly, primarily pistols or some long guns?
Yeah, women are buying pistols, self-defense pistols, but that's the hottest category. Pistols are by and large the lion's share of that, followed by shotguns and your AR-15 type of weapon.
Followed by shotguns, and women are buying AR-15s. But Chris Brown of the pro-gun control group Brady, remember there was a Brady gun control group?
Right.
They've said, listen, despite all of you right-wingers, all of you gun owners out there, Joe Biden will not confiscate your guns, and neither will Kamala Harris.
We've never, ever had a president of the United States and a vice president of the United States who embrace gun violence prevention and public health solutions to gun violence in the manner that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris do. And we look forward to embracing solutions all of America wants. And it's not going to involve the confiscation or the removal of a single gun from any household in America. I guarantee that.
New reports out this year about what will be the biggest issue in 2021. I was thinking, okay, could it be the economy? Could it be the issue of, for example, we just talked about gun sales going up? What about COVID-19? No. According to pollsters out there, they say that the top global risk for 2021 isn't COVID. Instead, it's partisanship against President Biden. CBS News.
A new annual report released this morning reveals the top global risks for 2021. Every year, Eurasia Group, that's a political risk research and consulting firm, ranks the top 10 geopolitical risks that we are likely to face in the new year. And the report says, let's go in reverse order. The third greatest risk is climate change.
Wow.
The second is the long-term effects of the coronavirus pandemic. And it says that the greatest risk is political polarization right here in America and the ways it could affect Joe Biden's presidency.
Wait. That is the greatest risk for 2021 among political researchers? Is all of the opposition against President-elect Biden?
Exactly. Yeah, you know, they obviously, these people are partisan hacks. If they think that's a global risk, is, you know, how effective, Joe Biden will be in implementing liberalism.
Here's TV host Bill O'Reilly. He says the media dealing with the Biden presidency, if anything goes south, don't blame Biden, just blame Trump.
And then the news agencies are going to go, Joe's great. Whatever Joe does is the best. And if Joe screws up, guess whose fault it's going to be?
Yeah.
Trump's. If the economy goes south, Trump did it. All right. If COVID sweeps over despite the vaccine, Trump did it. Whatever bad happens in America the next 3 years, because then the presidential campaign will start again, it's going to be Trump's fault.
That's right. It's going to be Trump's fault. 742 Talk Radio WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
On Blanding Boulevard, headed north, right at Fillmore Street, there's an accident that has a center lane blocked, and it's starting to cause some light traffic. Be aware and add about 5 extra minutes. And if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE.
Plenty of sunshine today. 67 the high. Clear tonight with a low of 41. Right now it's 38 degrees.
America's Everglades. There's no other place like it in the world. But we need your help to restore and protect it for future generations. So your kids, your grandkids, even your great-grandkids can experience and enjoy this national treasure. To learn more, visit EvergladesFoundation.org. That's EvergladesFoundation.org.
Transmission problems? Call Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where you get the work done right the first time by the experts. I'm Robin Sidbury, the owner. Our techs can service all makes and models, and we provide a nationwide warranty, so you have the peace of mind knowing we solve your transmission troubles fairly and honestly and guaranteed nationwide. Call us at Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where quality counts. Get traction. Call Action at 744-0755.
The year was 1957, and two of the top movies that year were Around the World in 80 Days and Jailhouse Rock. And 1957 was also the year the Boger family opened their shoe store on Park Street here in Jacksonville. And now Boger Shoes has become your fashion headquarters for New Balance footwear. Boger's has just received a new shipment of New Balance shoes for women and men, with many new colors and styles from which to choose. For 64 years, Boger Shoes has been serving Northeast Florida for all your footwear needs. With your prescription, the four board-certified podiatrists on staff at Boger's can custom make your foot orthotics in their on-site lab. And Boger Shoes offers free foot evaluations with a professional staff that have over 80 years of combined shoe fitting experience. Come by Boger Shoes today and see for yourself why Boger's was voted Bold City's best specialty shoe store at 1014 Park Street in Jacksonville. Boger Shoes, the answer for hurting feet. And Happy New Year from everyone at Boger Shoes.
WBOB is talk radio for Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia.
Here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Governor Ron DeSantis rolls out plans to boost vaccination numbers for elderly Floridians. House Democrats put in new rules that will remove gender language in proposed legislation. And a new poll finds most voters think $600 coronavirus relief checks are too little.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
Hey, coming up on 46 minutes after 7 a.m., Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. Remember a few moments ago we talked about the Hill-Harris X poll where 75% of voters say that $600 COVID relief checks are too little, Raj.
Yeah, not enough. They want way more money than that.
That's right. 57% said that $2,000 is the right amount. But when you listen to economists, for example, Stephanie Kelton, economic professor, author of the book The Deficit Myth, that should be a red flag right there, the author of her book, New York Times bestseller, she says the deficit spending actually benefits the economy and actually puts a surplus in the economy. Listen to this spin.
We use these words to describe what's happening to the government's balance sheet. We call it a deficit. And that word is problematic because it has this inherent connotation that the government has mismanaged its finances, that it's done something wrong. Deficits are bad, right? We've been taught to think of them that way. But we should all take a deep breath and recognize that there's another side to the story, okay? When we say that the government is engaged in deficit spending or running fiscal deficits, it simply means that the government is spending more dollars into the economy than it is subtracting away through taxation. Mm. So if they spend 100 in and they only tax or—
Listen to the spin now, okay?
Subtract 90 away, somebody's getting 10, okay? Their deficits are financial surpluses in some other part of the economy. Their red ink is our black ink. And to sort of take a deep breath and recognize that the government's deficit becomes our financial surplus.
Their red ink is our black ink, Raj. Mm. That's what they're saying.
Okay.
And then she says it actually puts a surplus into the economy out there. What's wrong with that notion?
It sounds like corporate greed from a government perspective.
Yeah. I mean, technically, could not a bank robber rob you for your money and put a surplus in his back pocket?
Yeah.
Doesn't that technically help that? I can't see she or he anymore, right? Got to say they. Deficit spending. Technically, folks, deficit spending can boost. Oh, Ed, you're talking heresy. No. Hear me out for a second. Viers is an economics reporter. Deficit spending, short term. But in the long term and midterm, folks, it only goes so far. Because what happens is you've got to pay for that bill out there. You can't keep continuing to run in red ink. The reason why, America is able to do it because we have so much assets out there.
Mm-hmm.
People can buy up our debt. But sooner or later, this has got to be focused upon.
Mm-hmm.
And sooner or later, somebody can sit back and go, well, you know, we can run in the red ink since we owe the majority of our money to ourselves.
It's into the trillions of dollars right now.
Yeah.
Unimaginable amounts.
Yeah. But then again, we continue to go into debt. The problem that, and before I get to the calls at 831-0600, when you listen to the economists, by the way, there's more liberal economists out there than are conservative economists. When they say, well, when you deficit spend, it actually is a benefit to the economy. But they don't tell you for what areas. When you put $2 billion like the Obama stimulus, it's going to turn on an economy for a few months. The longevity for a year to year and a half, I'm sorry, unless you continue to do this, you can't do this. Companies can't do this. You have to have enough money to suffice the payments and to pay off the interest as well. When we're coming down the road, when all you have enough money is what you're doing right now is just paying off the interest, then you're in major problems. Get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Let's go to Woody. What's going on, Woody? Good morning.
Morning. How are you guys doing today? Welcome back, Ed.
Thank you, brother. Good to be back.
I'm afraid these guys are going to put all these comedians out of work because everything that comes out of their mouth is the funniest thing I've ever heard. It scares me because they're actually trying to run this country. But, I mean, all women and deficit spending is a good thing and stimulates the economy. I didn't want the $600. I got it, but it's in my savings account. And I'm just concerned about how much that $600 is going to cost me. Is it going to cost me $1,200 or $1,800 or $2,000?
Yeah, kind of interesting. On the, I mean, now you've got people sitting back debating about whether it should have been $600, whether it should have been $2,000 out there. And Woody, it just seems that nobody ever wants to address the deficit spending. I mean, again, it's not a problem until another party is out of power. Then it becomes everybody's problem, right?
Well, it's like saying, hey, I'm going to get a pay raise next year, so I'm going to go ahead and get another credit card and run it up.
Yeah, good point.
So thanks a lot, guys.
All right, man. Have a good one.
All right, happy New Year.
And by the way, people will ask, well, Ed, you talk about states like Illinois, California, New York. Why is it that their credit rating and bond rating is down slightly? Excuse me. But overall, it's like, how come it's not down in the tanks? Because why? Because, I mean, the bank will still own you money mm-hmm. because it's called the taxpayers.
Right.
And in fact, in some of these constitutional regulations from a state, the only way to save the state is have the federal government bail them out.
Which is what a lot of them are hoping will happen.
Yeah.
Which in turn means states that don't have these fiscal issues will end up having to pay money to Washington, who will then give that money to states like Illinois and Wisconsin. So that's good. That's very likely what could end up happening.
Hey, by the way, just to let everybody know, I was hunting in 4 days straight.
Mm-hmm.
I was texting Ron and you guys. Came down with bronchitis. I got tested. The guy goes, Doc, you don't, no. He goes, you got bronchitis, dude. I get about once a year.
Mm-hmm.
So you should have heard me a couple of days ago, but I mean, I'm fine. But that's why I got a little bit of a cough. So I don't know if you get worried or anything like that.
That's not the vid, huh?
No. I've already had that. So test for the antibodies. So, but anyway. But I'm really fascinated by the author of that book. Is called the deficit myth. So again,
we don't have a negative balance in the nation's checking account. In other words,
I mean,
it's a myth.
I mean, maybe the argument should be that wealth redistribution works because you're taken from one,
mm-hmm.
trying to suffice for the other, which the liberal left believes is the way to have economic prosperity. And I'm sorry, that doesn't happen. There hasn't been one country to do that. I just like the title, the deficit myth. And go figure, becomes a New York Times bestseller. Coming up on 752 Talk Radio, WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
As always, our usual light traffic on JTB headed east, right between Hodges and San Pablo. It's starting to slow down even more than earlier, so add about 5 or 6 extra minutes. And if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE.
Plenty of sunshine today, 67 the high, clear tonight with a low of 41. Right now it's 38 degrees.
I'm Rich Thomason in for Lou Dobbs, who returns this afternoon. Back to work on Wall Street. Controversial seaport plan in New York City, awaiting crush of online returns. Those stories next.
If you've fallen behind in your credit card payments during the shutdown, you're probably feeling some added pressures. And even a brief history of late payments can lead to a big drop in your credit score. But you don't have to solve these problems alone. Trinity Debt Management can help. We'll work with your creditors, put a stop to late fees and other penalties, and make a plan that helps you get caught up. We'll also consolidate your bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment and negotiate much lower interest rates. Not only will you find immediate relief, you'll save thousands. And don't worry, it's not a loan. It's a smart way to get back on track. All you have to do is give Trinity a quick call, and we'll take care of the rest. Right now, no one really knows what the future will bring. But one thing is for sure. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Here's the number.
Call 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
Wall Street officially welcomes 2021 today, the first trading day of the new year. All major stock and bond exchanges, as well as major brokerage houses, are back at work following the three-day weekend celebrating the new year. New York City's South Street Seaport area will be the scene of a battle over preservation of historic sites this week. Several commercial developments, including two 470-foot towers, have raised the ire of neighborhood activists. A community advisory board meeting is now set for tomorrow, with sparks expected to fly. The good news? Online retailers blew the doors off their sales budgets during Christmas. The bad news? They now have to figure out how to logistically and safely handle an expected crush of gift returns coming soon. Please join us for Lou Dobbs Tonight at 5, 7, and 10 Eastern on the Fox Business Network. This is the Lou Dobbs Financial Report.
You're busy, so let Z-Best Original Tunis Restaurant at 7400 103rd Street help out. Z-Best Tunis Restaurant offers the original Kronos Euros, oysters, shrimp, fish, wings, and more. A pound of gizzards or livers is $4.99, 30 jumbo shrimp just $9.99. The classic chicken sandwich is just $3.99. Discounts for military, first responders, and school employees. Z-Best Original Tunis Restaurant, 7400 103rd Street, on Facebook at Z-Best The Original. Happy New Year from Z, the founder.
Tune in every Wednesday afternoon at 5 for Rapid Fire Real Estate with Anita Hiles.
We're looking at lots more homes coming up, lots more restaurants.
Anita has all the latest news on Northeast Florida hot properties and everything you need to know relating to your most important investment.
The whole idea is to sell your house. We know what the market is.
It's Rapid Fire Real Estate with Anita Hiles every Wednesday afternoon at 5 on AM 600 and 101.1 FM Talk Radio WBOB.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
The final report by a special Jacksonville City Committee, which formed an investigation into the sale of JEA in 2019, released its 132-page report after 10 months of committee work that said that it didn't look into any criminal behavior. But what it found was that this was heavily pushed by the mayor's office, and the sale lacked transparency as well, without any proof that this was going to be a top seller and a top money generator for the general public out there. News 4 Jax.
A new report into the bungled JEA sale uncovers what it calls intentional misrepresentation, or in other words, lies, by those who are in charge of JEA. It points out the mayor's role in the attempted sale and how senior staff at JEA would have made millions if the sale went through.
The report goes into details of the backroom negotiations with JEA upper management, and it's linked to the mayor's office on pushing for the sale of JEA. It doesn't look into any criminal behavior, but questions how the city got to the point of almost selling its biggest asset and how JEA management would have profited significantly. The report says the committee interviewed dozens of witnesses and pored over 600,000 pages of documents. In its conclusion, the report says they only looked at legislative matters and will let the Department of Justice handle criminal issues. As for Mayor Curry, he didn't put much stock into the report.
That was, again, from News 4 Jax. Mayor Curry said had just the report was out, he was not happy that it was made public before he could review it out there. But he told reporters, take what you may from this whole thing, take the report, do whatever you think you want to do with it. He says, I'm not going to react to that. You guys have had access to me all throughout the discussion of any issue we've had here in the city of Jacksonville.
We asked specifically if he or any members of his administration had been interviewed by the feds, and Mayor Lenny Curry wouldn't give us a simple yes or no. The mayor tells us he supports the city and federal probes into JEA and that its handling of the failed sale attempt. Mayor Curry has been at times critical of the media and its reporting of the controversies surrounding JEA.
So there you go.
The United States.
Yeah, I'll get to that one in a second. So the bottom line is, we knew when this was going on last year.
Right.
We didn't expect anything to become criminal. They said there wasn't anything. Listen, I got to tell you the truth. I don't think there's anything new in this report that we haven't heard reported on.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't heard anything new. The mayor made it look like he, I don't know what's going on. This is totally independent of me. Meanwhile, kind of behind the scenes, they were, in fact, you know, kind of involved in seeing what they could do with that money.
Yeah, so the question is, and I'm not saying this to beat up the mayor this morning. I guess my question is, does this make the mayor look incompetent out there?
No.
I'm not saying that everybody has to know everything. I think there's stuff that's happened behind people's back. Example, President Trump, also things that maybe happened with the mayor. Rogers doesn't think it makes the mayor look incompetent. But the question is, either the mayor knew about what was going on, or if he didn't or didn't want to find out what's going on, does that make him look incompetent?
I think it makes him look like a politician, like he doesn't want to necessarily let everybody know what's going on and present it when he thinks the timing's right.
Coming up, 8 o'clock hour, next, right here on Talk Radio WBOB.
AM 600 WBOB Jacksonville, 101.1 FM W266 CX Fruitco. Talk Radio.